KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. The Mavericks start the regular season in a week. So there's a variety of different ways we can go here. Do you guys want to talk about the TV deal, the last preseason game not playing out how they want it to, how much better Derek Lively can be, or how they fit in the power rankings?
I guess I'll go with either Lively or power rankings right now.
Okay.
Lively sounds fun. Right. I'm very interested in him.
So
because he was at Raising Cane's yesterday.
Oh, was he?
Him and PJ Washington were serving people at Raising Cane's. Nice. And he was funny. Like, he was the personality on Derek Lively. I don't know how he can be that young, that loose, and that talented all in one. He's got all the things you like about him.
Yeah, no, he is an incredible player. And I think that's why we're all really excited about him being here. My question is, though, how much better can Lively get this year, just this season? Because I realize he's young and you have seasons and seasons to go. But when we see ESPN's already got him popped up to 56, we're all pumped about him. How good can he be?
This is a really good question too, Kevin, because this can kind of go along with your question. Would you rather see him be the defensive first player one of the year or a second scoring option behind Luka?
First one.
Okay. Because that fits the team better?
Exactly. Because I know people can argue whether you think PJ is going to step up or Clay or obviously Kyrie. There is a void on this team in terms of elite defender. They have several good defenders and they've gotten better over the last couple of years defensively. But if you told me they have an elite full season defender, hell yeah, I'm taking that one.
He can lob with anybody. Like anybody that's on the court, and when they throw it up, he goes and grabs it.
Same with Gafford, right? He's better than way more potential than Gafford, and I think he might be a hair better than Gafford right now.
But we're lucky to have both of those guys.
But I think you're talking about the improvement. We know that Gafford can maybe get a little bit better, but we think that Lively can get a lot better. His issue is ever making an all-star team in the Western Conference with Jokic and Wimby's probably going to be done. Like, I don't know how in the world he's supposed to. Because, like, I think his potential, I want to say, is all-star. And then I think of how in the world does
he overtake
one of those guys off?
So that's a great point. Let me give you an example of why I think you're definitely right. So last year, and I realized he got better and better as the year went along. So
he started shooting threes in the playoffs.
Man,
he shot a three in the preseason game from the top of the key.
Oh,
it didn't look bad. It was a little long.
Yeah.
But I was like, it's weird how that shot might be too far for him right now, but the corner might not be.
I just assumed it would be almost exclusively corner threes when you saw it. Last year, 9 points a game, 7 rebounds a game. I realized that got better as the season went along. My hope is this year, I'm just going to put it at 14 and 10. I think if you get 14 points a game, 10 rebounds a game, that is a big jump. But to your point, that's not going to put you on the all-star team. I mean, the Mavericks probably won't care because they're winning a crap ton of games. But I was kind of thinking in my mind, I'd like to see him jump up in that 14 and to 10 range. Do you think that's reasonable? Do you think that will be disappointing for some people?
Can I ask you something about that? Because he seemed to be pretty efficient. Like, I know Gafford was extremely efficient because it was all around the basket.
Yes.
So how is he taking points from somebody, just more efficient?
I think he is going to be taking points from somebody because I think it's impossible for him to become more efficient if he's going to add the three-pointer to his game. I'm not saying he can't be a good three-point shooter, but he made three quarters of his shots because most of them were really, really close. If you're going to expand out, I don't think you can depend on as efficient of a shooting percentage.
So I think it's a great question Corey just asked, because if you look at Luka at 33.9 last year, I do think that's too many. I would like for him to be at 30, like 28 to 30.
28 was what I was thinking.
But I'm not. Luka probably doesn't want to do that. He probably wants to go after the scoring title, to be honest. Kyrie's at 25. I think that we need him to be around that number. So just say out of those two guys, I can take away 4 points, but I don't know if that's possible.
And that's what I'm curious about, because I think I might.
Because Hardaway was 14.4, but aren't we hoping that that's Klay Thompson's average?
Exactly. And so I wonder if you get to the point where, and you're probably right, but let's say an even 50. So 22 from Kyrie, 28 from Luka. I understand the problems that come along with that. Now, all of a sudden, you're slicing off about 9 points that I think could be redistributed to make this team better in the long run. And honestly, in the regular season, I know we'll talk about this more next next week. I know it's about the playoffs for this team. I think they need to have a great regular season to really set up the path of least resistance in the playoffs.
And I also think there would be a little bit of an intimidation factor going into the playoffs if Luka and Kyrie, their first year together, make the NBA Finals, and then their second year together,
that's a good point,
end up winning 58 games in the regular season, and they go like 58 and 24. I think that puts a little bit more fear in teams going into the playoffs. Not that they would wilter just playing wilt. Do I need to put a tur on that? I don't know. But
hold on. Welter, that is a... Go ahead. I just want to figure it out.
Classic Mike-ism.
But I'm just wondering... You know, that could put a little bit of fear into other teams going, son of a gun, man, this team. And then Derek Lively is getting better. The thing about Derek Lively I'm looking at, and I didn't realize this. Do you guys know how many games he played in last year, regular season?
48.
I was going to say 50.
Yeah, 55. Okay. Not many.
Because like, he got hurt. Look at, he had the nose. Right. He had a couple of different things.
So I guess also my hope is that Derek Lively in his second season.
70?
That he got used to like 65 to 72. Like in that realm would be awesome. That. You do have, the great thing is you have Gafford to back up those situations if he needs a night off. Same thing with, you know, if Gafford needs a night off or there's a little bit of an injury. But I'm really excited to see what Derek Lively can produce. I guess I'm not so concerned about the offense. At averaging 8.8, I'm thinking, do you think more realistically 12?
I'm really intrigued by the perimeter game. And I'm thinking,
okay,
give me a three-pointer per game. And so I'm adding that on top of what he already does. And so that would put you right at about 12. And I still think he can get even better offensively. So I might be too high. I think 14 is potentially doable.
There was a time, Mike, when you said that Luka would be fine just assisting everybody.
I guess I'm changing my mind a hair on that because I think he loves scoring 30 to 40 a game.
Do you think he loves it or he just felt like he had to because nobody else could?
See, that's a good question.
That's a great question because I'm changing my mind on that. I thought if he had a team like this, he would want to lead the NBA in assists, which I think he could on this team. Last year, he averaged 9.8. I think on this team, he could average, which is a huge jump, 12 assists a game.
Yeah. I mean, that's where I kind of fall in. It all kind of depends.
But you'd have to take away from 33.9 points a game, and I don't know if his ego wants to go away from being the leading scorer in the NBA.
And you might be right about that. By the way, wither is the word you were looking for, according to the text. I think this is the great thing that Jason Kidd has the opportunity to work on is trying to figure out what team on a nightly basis they want to be because of the, I mean, just think about all the things you said and PJ Washington, like how does he fit?
We've barely talked about Gafford.
Yeah, is he a role player? And then the other role players that they've added to this thing, you know, like just trying to figure out how they all work together and what's best. Cause I don't think that you're going to see the same thing night in, night out. And
I
even
agree.
In the playoffs, you're going to need to have a Derek Lively game, or you're going to need to have a Kyrie
random
game.
Klay Thompson, 7 3-pointers.
Yeah.
And
so,
I'm telling you,
you're flexible enough and built your roster well enough that you can do that.
My low key theory for the regular season is Klay Thompson is going to disappoint, but then when it matters, everyone's going to say, now I get it.
Yeah. I hope that's right,
what I think is going to happen.
Yeah, I hope so too.
Yeah. Well, do you want to move on to the next math topic?
We've got a lot. It's up to you guys. We can do this.
No, I think we kind of covered Derek Lively because I think there's high expectation, what the expectation is, what you'd be disappointed with. I guess my expectation is if he's on the court for 70 games, he's going to make a major impact.
I really like that because I think my immediate disappointment would be injury robs us from seeing the real development that you would think he would naturally come across.
The other thing I'm wondering about, and it won't be this year, I saw him in the preseason game, is how much can his body mature? He's only 20.
Yeah, sure.
What will his body look like at age 24 to what we see his body at 19 and 20? Some guys don't change at all. They are just thin and can get... He doesn't get pushed around, don't get me wrong, but he's not physically imposing. Could he get to like... where his body's thin, but he's kind of Kevin Garnett-like?
Yeah.
Where you, it's like he's thin, but you can't really move him.
I think maybe so. All right. Go ahead and send in your predictions where you think the Mavs would be in the power rankings. We're going to quick hit that. But I know people want, I know people care about this a lot. Okay. They're not number one.
Wow. You don't like the Stars. You don't like the Mavs.
These aren't my power rankings. Hold on. We'll get to that in just a second.
You wanted the Rangers to lose.
We will get to that in just a second.
Evan Carter.
But.
Oh, yeah. You screwed my
look,
guy over.
Evan Carter agreed that maybe he didn't have to jump all those times.
I wish you would have told me in April to stop buying his cards.
I did not know that was going to happen.
And you said
that,
buy more of them.
That just stacks
saying.
Up for the comeback.
He actually told me to stop buying them.
I didn't want to say that on air. So Brad Townsend put out a story that was, it was a plethora of information this morning. So the Mavericks and Tegna kind of filled in some of the blanks because people have been worried.
That's the TV thing?
Yes. Okay. People have been worried about how they're going to be able to watch the Mavericks. So I have information, but for a lot of people, you're going to wish it was just a little bit more. You're going to have to wait one more week for that. Supposedly, the Mavericks are going to announce potentially as early as next week what their app situation is going to be. But the word is that they've been working on, just like we've talked about with the Rangers, their own thing. So for people who are still worried about Channel 29 or whatever else, it looks like early next week, hopefully we'll get the news that it's ready to roll by the start of the regular season, or if not, shortly thereafter.
I love, like, nothing against the Stars. Obviously, last year I tried to get into the Stars, and I did get more into them. I totally, being away and everything, forgot about Victory Plus. I just downloaded it during the show. I do have the ability now to watch the Stars, and I'm excited about that. But I can't go away from the Mavs. The Mavs, I think, like most people listening, they're my Cowboys. Almost no matter what Mark Cuban has done, and he's done some pretty, like, let's say not high standard things.
Yep.
I still stick with them.
Like,
if that
letting
makes
people
sense.
In for free if they painted their bodies.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot worse. Yeah,
there's a lot of women things that
the Mavs maniac
he let go that he probably knew about and just looked the other way.
For sure.
And that could be, I'm not a Maverick fan, like, but I just can't do it. I'm probably going to be a Maverick fan till the day I die. So I'm going to have to find a way. Like, I did YouTube TV, but I know that's on a month to month thing, so I can cancel kind of anytime I want.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna fiend for the Mavs games on television.
Yeah, no, that makes sense with me. By the way, Tegnet announced a couple of different clearance markets. I don't know if people in the Metroplex care, but like El Paso. So what was going to be available to about 10 million people has expanded out to 14 million. I believe 69 or 70 of those games are going to be available, and all the rest are national games for the Mavericks. So you should have the opportunity to make all of that happen. Now, on the power ranking front, Corey, you said one, and I warned you that
you slapped that down real fast, Kevin.
I say Boston, Oklahoma City, Dallas will be the ranking.
Man, you are very high on Oklahoma City.
Didn't they win 60 games last year with a really young team? And now they added A&M. They added an Aggie to the team.
All right, I'll listen to you guys. I'll just see how it goes.
I mean, I have not given an opinion.
Realistically, three sounds good. Three sounds good. Because, I mean, I could even put Denver up because they still have the best player.
So, interesting the way this plays out. So, this is per the Ringer. Boston, number one. Oklahoma City, number two. Denver, number three. And then Dallas, four. And so, interestingly enough, they've then got the Knicks at number five. And we've talked quite a bit about the Knicks. And then the Timberwolves behind them. Look, I know trades have kind of shifted what a lot of people's idea of the balance of power was, because I really thought it was going to be the four halves in the West, and then everybody else was going to have to figure it out. But now I know people are curious about what happens in Minnesota.
I like where you're at here on this. I have a question to ponder that maybe you can throw on tomorrow's run sheet if we wanted to do NBA tomorrow. I know we have college football, Texas and Georgia, a whole bunch of
things
to get to.
By the way, that's a good point. I don't know if you saw this, and I didn't get a chance to mention it earlier in the show. Hartenstein, if you're fancy, is going to be out about 5 to 6 weeks for OKC.
Oh, yeah, I forgot they got him too. Crapola.
Yeah, they have a lot of
people. They're really good. Out of Boston, this is my question to tease for tomorrow or next week.
Yeah.
out of Boston, New York, and then you mentioned Oklahoma City, Denver, Dallas, and Minnesota. What team do you think can win the NBA championship that's not in those names? No, those teams, eliminate okay. those teams. Think about this for maybe Sacramento. Tomorrow or next week. What
team can win a championship away. And yeah. why? Okay. Knicks. I'm not.
They're on the
Toronto.
List.
They're on the list. Well,
they're not on the list.
Toronto could win.
The Magic.
Because it's not. Well, I was going to say Toronto could win because it's the NBA. We're and not the NHL man. Where Canadian teams don't win.